Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Muy buenos dias. Wake up, America. It's Monday, June 12th. Good morning and welcome to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond, wherever you may be on this Monday morning listening to Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Always a joy and a privilege to be with you to start your work week here on the network. I want to bring on our Morning Air team once again, as we always do. Glenn, what are a few of the stories that are making headlines here this hour on this Monday morning?
Watching the recovery of Pope Francis. Had surgery Wednesday, of course. He's still in Gemelli Hospital in Rome, but he sat up to watch Mass on Sunday, and so that was good. Prayed the Angelus privately in the chapel there. He'll still be in for several more days, but everything looks like it's going according to plan, John.
That is great news. I know a lot of folks all over the world have been praying for a complete recovery of the Holy Father, so we'll be keeping an eye on him day by day as his recovery continues. Meanwhile, in politics, an overwhelming majority of Republicans don't believe a felony conviction should keep a candidate out of the White House, and that's according to a new CBS News YouGov poll. What is the latest on that, Glenn?
Well, that poll is quite amazing. It shows 80% of likely Republican voters say if President Trump got the nomination, he should be allowed to serve, even if he is convicted of a felony. Along those lines, he'll be arraigned in Miami tomorrow on 37 counts, federal counts of having classified documents he shouldn't, allegedly, at Mar-a-Lago, and a lot came out on that over the weekend. But it'll be interesting. Security really ramped up for the courthouse in Miami tomorrow as well.
Yeah, it seems like the more these controversies happen with the former president, the more people want to stand with him.
Yeah, it's interesting. I read one thing over the weekend talking about some of the political planning over this, perhaps looking for this, thinking that Democrats ultimately want to run against Trump in the general election, thinking by seeming to persecute him, that will push his supporters to strongly help him get the nomination, but then that might kind of scare off some independents in the general election. And so if that's the plan, that's interesting. We'll see what happens. A long way to go with a lot of competition on the Republican side as well from the former president, but my goodness, the circus makes it another stop in Miami tomorrow, John.
Well, there's going to be a lot of traffic jams outside of Philadelphia this morning. What is the latest with that awful collapse on I-95?
Yeah, a tanker truck with petroleum products caught on fire below I-95, an overpass in Philly, and the fire was strong enough to actually wreck and collapse part of the roadway there. So I-95 shut down in Philly for a long time to come. They'll have to completely replace that section, that overpass. And so no one hurt, as far as we know at this point. The fire's out and all of that, but that was kind of made for some amazing pictures yesterday morning when it happened.
So for any of our relevant radio listeners in the greater Philly area, make sure you plan a lot of extra time.
Yeah, depending on that route, I know from having a chunk of interstate out in a major metro in Minneapolis, the bridge for 35W, I-35W over the Mississippi River collapsed. Several people lost their lives several years ago, but it took a long time for things to be rebuilt. This overpass a little more simple. They don't have to go over a river, just another roadway, but still traffic headaches in Philly for a while to come.
Well, Glenn, meanwhile, in sports, the Denver Nuggets are just one win away from their first ever NBA championship. The Nuggets will be hosting the Miami Heat at Ball Arena tonight for Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Nuggets are up 3-1, so they are in the driver's seat after they won 2 out of the 3 games in Miami. So there will be a lot of excitement and anticipation on the home court for the Nuggets tonight in Denver.
Oh, how exciting. The team joined the NBA in the 70s with the merger with the ABA and have never been to the finals in all those years. So they've got a strong 3-1 lead now. They've got the MVP, Nikola Jokic, playing very, very well. Some record-setting performances in these finals. And their coach would love for them to play with the urgency of the fact that they would be down 3-1, but they're up 3-1. Going to take one more if they can get her done. That'll be exciting for the folks in Denver. And in Miami, poor South Florida here, they've got teams in the NBA and NHL finals, and both teams are down right now trying to stay alive.
Yeah, that is an unfortunate situation for South Florida, but we'll take it one game at a time tonight. Miami has shown such unbelievable resilience time and time again. Yeah. They have somehow pulled it out. So tonight, they got their back against the wall, and it's all hands on deck for the Heat.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler shows up big in the playoff games for the Heat, so we'll see how it goes tonight.
Absolutely. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We start every hour in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, keeping in mind that every single day is a blessing, every day is a gift. And we always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And on Mondays, traditionally, we pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and our loved ones who really do need our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. We always invoke the Holy Spirit every single morning when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. If you want to send us an email directly, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program here this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, I want to talk about the ongoing controversy involving the Los Angeles Dodgers and an anti-Catholic hate group. In response, our friends at Catholic Vote placed radio and TV ads ahead of the Los Angeles Dodgers game on Saturday night, shaming this Major League Baseball organization for inviting an anti-Catholic drag queen group to the team's annual Pride Night on June 16th. Catholic Vote's ad titled, "The Dodgers Have Lost Their Way," is part of the organization's $1 million campaign to raise awareness about the Dodgers' decision to honor the anti-Catholic hate group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
The Dodgers were trailblazers. Playing Jackie wasn't popular. Hate and disrespect were popular, even in law. But the Dodgers were right. They helped power a movement and changed a nation. Their leadership, class, and style of play were the envy of baseball. The Dodger way. But today, the Dodgers are putting it all at risk. On June 16th, a prominent anti-Catholic hate group will be honored on the field. A group that mocks Catholic nuns with vile sexual perversions, pole dances on crosses, blessings with sex toys, even sexualizing the Virgin Mary and the words of Jesus Christ. A fringe group like this? Honored? Awarded? Celebrated? There is no equality in mocking women religious. No tolerance in hate. No pride in anti-Catholic bigotry. Mocking Christians is not the Dodger way.
This powerful ad ran on television and digital platforms in the Los Angeles area this past weekend. Joining us live for much more perspective from Youngstown, Ohio, this morning is Logan Church, the political director of Catholic Vote, to talk about the Dodgers boycott and the Catholic Vote campaign. Good morning, Logan. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you for the latest on this blatantly anti-Catholic bigotry controversy.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on.
Well, I'd love to get your take and your thoughts on this ad campaign. We just heard this powerful commercial just a moment ago. Can you tell us a little bit about the spot, where it ran, and how it's been received?
Yeah, so like you said, it was a million-dollar campaign. This ad launched on Saturday, and it's saturating the TV market there in L.A. We did not just stick to TV markets that necessarily would be friendly to us. We wanted to make sure that we got it out and around. We've gotten such a wonderful response. Within 20 minutes of even uploading it to our YouTube, we had over 100,000 views in the first, you know, half hour. It was pretty incredible. And I think this ad is super powerful because it shows that contrast between the Dodgers standing up and being a champion for human rights. But then now they're openly embracing just an openly anti-Catholic group. I think it's a very powerful ad, and we've heard wonderful things about it. And we're not only running this ad, but we're doing text messages. We're pushing it on Spanish radio and everything in between.
Yeah, Spanish radio is super important because they're in the L.A. market. I would imagine that so many of the, I believe it's around 4 million Catholics, are Latino. And so they, too, would be highly offended by what's going on with, for many of them, their beloved Dodgers, who, you know, for those who are baseball fans.
Right, absolutely. And not to mention, you know, the L.A. diocese is the largest Catholic diocese. That, you know, so for them to do this there, I think is shocking. And I think the biggest thing that they're hoping and they're banking on is that people aren't going to know what's going on because people aren't tuned in. They're busy. Their schedules are busy. And they don't really want people to wake up and see what's happening.
Well, Logan, it's been a number of weeks since we found out about this situation, about the Dodgers, which traditionally over the decades, going way, way back, you know, to the 1940s and the O'Malley family, they were always known as a classy organization, you know, one of the really classiest teams in all of baseball. They really are a storied franchise. And, you know, your spot runs, you know, has Jackie Robinson in it. And I also think of Tommy Lasorda, who I knew, who was very strong Catholic, and Vin Scully, the longtime Hall of Fame voice of the Dodgers, one of the greatest announcers of all time, may he rest in peace, who was also a very strong, devoted Catholic. Vin Scully would be turning over in his grave if he knew what was going on with the Dodgers, inviting and then backing out and then re-inviting this so-called anti-Catholic hate group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Yes, absolutely. I think that a lot of people in the history of the Dodgers would find this appalling just because not only are they honoring this group, they're awarding them a community hero award. And I want to know what exactly this group has done to be heroes in a community when their literature all says, go forth and sin some more. They plaster that across their social media, their website, their literature, and they're encouraging our community to act out against the morals that built us. And, you know, nothing good can come from this.
And this group has been anti-Catholic and doing just insane things for decades. They didn't just come around. I mean, they've been doing it from what I believe. I think it was reported that they've been, you know, attacking the Catholic Church since like the 1980s.
Yes. Yes, they have been. And they've been trying to grow. They were founded in 1979, I believe, and they've really been pushing it in the past 10 years, trying to grow their outreach. And from what I can tell, it actually hasn't been successful when it comes to collecting new members. But they seem to be getting some attention from the LA Dodgers. You know, obviously, when the Dodgers got that backlash originally and they backed out, we were all so excited. There was a celebration, but then it appears that they were, you know, for lack of a better term, bullied into putting them back in by the LGBTQ community. And I think this is a good representation of this movement is no longer the movement of let us love who we love. It's the movement of you have to support every single choice that any of us make, or you will lose us completely.
We're speaking this morning with Logan Church, the political director of Catholic Vote, talking about the Dodger boycott and Catholic Vote's ad campaign against the Dodgers. Logan, many bishops across the country have been vocal, have spoken out. You mentioned the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Many bishops have had something to say about this decision by the Dodgers. I want to share with you some audio of Bishop Robert Barron of Winona and Rochester, Minnesota. He's a former auxiliary bishop of Los Angeles. In fact, he actually once threw out the first ball at Dodger Stadium. And he had a little something to say about this anti-Catholic group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Suppose this group had dressed up in a kind of simulacrum of a rabbi and had done something deeply disrespectful to the Torah, or take it a step further, had dressed up in a, you know, mockery of a Muslim cleric or imam, and then had desecrated the Quran. What would the reaction be? You know, those questions answer themselves, but somehow attacking Catholics in this most disgraceful way is okay. Not only okay, it should be honored. You know, everybody, I've said this before, but there's a long tradition in our country of anti-Catholicism. It was said famously, about a century ago, the last acceptable prejudice in America is anti-Catholicism. But we shouldn't tolerate it.
Logan, your reaction.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a strong stance. I think we can always trust him to take a strong stance, which I appreciate. And I think it's logical, too, because it gets people thinking, even non-Catholics. Imagine if this happened to a different religion. What would the reaction be? And why? Like, people need to answer for themselves. Why do they not care that it's happening to us? What's different?
Yeah. What is your gut feeling as to why it seems, you know, that it's okay to attack the Catholic faith, but not these other religions? As Bishop Barron pointed out, can you imagine if this was happening to a mosque with Muslims?
Right. Absolutely not. I mean, I would be horrified, as we all would, because you should not be attacking people's religion in this country. I think a big part of it is people recognize the Catholic Church. I mean, the Catholic Church has been the last standing force between protecting our culture and the full progressive revolution that the other side has been pushing for a very long time. You know, the corrosion of culture is happening all around us, and the Catholic Church has continued to be a voice for the voiceless, whether that's the pro-life movement, our parental rights in education, you know, school choice, whatever it may be. You know, the Catholic Church is a threat to people who hate what we stand for.
Do you think that more athletes, Major League Baseball players, need to speak out? I know Mike Sweeney was quite eloquent recently, the former Kansas City Royal five-time All-Star, who's also a very devout Catholic. He was on Fox News with Raymond Arroyo, and he was extremely vocal about this situation with the Dodgers. And Clayton Kershaw himself, the many-time Cy Young Award winner with the Dodgers, who's not even Catholic, has spoken out strongly against the Dodgers' decision.
Yeah, I think we've seen a handful of players come out just talking about not wanting to be political pawns. I would not be surprised if that trend continues, especially as baseball teams continue to make silly decisions such as this. A lot of these baseball players either ideologically don't agree with the choices that are being made or just don't even want to be used, like Sweeney said, as political pawns. Hopefully the players that have stood up, like Sweeney and like Kershaw, hopefully they will give a little bit of confidence to other players who might have something to say and are afraid to say it.
Who are a few of the other bishops that you're aware of that have spoken out?
Bishop Strickland, I know that the Archdiocese of both Orange and Los Angeles both released statements. And good statements. And I know the Archbishop of San Francisco and a lot of others. Joseph Newman,
Archbishop Cordiglione.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it, it, we've,
I was going to say, there's obviously, you know, some pushback. You know, Catholics are outraged, and I understand there's actually going to be a Eucharistic procession outside of Dodger Stadium, led by Bishop Strickland.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we've had a total of 13 or 14 bishops speak out so far. And so the Eucharistic procession, I hear it's starting at, it's starting at the cathedral, and making its way to the stadium the night of the game. It sounds like they've set up police protection. It sounds like things are in order to make sure everyone's safe and able to just pray peacefully. And I hear that the turnout's going to be phenomenal.
Well, yeah, it's scheduled for 4:30 p.m. Pacific time, and it will be a procession in which a lot of people will be making a statement against the Dodgers. What's the latest in terms of the funds that that you guys at Catholic Vote raise? Did you hit your $1 million goal?
We did. And, you know, assuming that the funds can, you know, by the grace of God, people are still interested in pushing this, we'll be able to push the ad even farther. But we're also, and I didn't mention this earlier, but we're also currently doing like mobile billboards. So that's the big trucks with the billboards on them, because we were turned down by the local billboard companies to run our billboards. So we went around them and got a mobile billboard that drives around the stadium.
And ironically, those billboards, which I saw a picture of one of them, have Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of the Americas, right there with the sign saying "The Dodgers dishonor our mother." DodgersHateCatholics.com. So hopefully that message will resonate, especially with Hispanic Catholics in L.A.
Yes, absolutely. I think the point is we just want people to understand that this group is just a disgusting anti-Christian, anti-Catholic group. And if they just look at even just a little bit of what they've done, it's not going to be hard to sell that.
What makes it even more outrageous than it already is the fact that this group, these sisters of perpetual indulgence, the so-called sisters, are being honored on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus of all days. What are some other ways that we as everyday Catholics can speak out and do something against this situation?
I would say continue to pray. I know a lot of people are participating in a novena, the Sacred Heart, in regards to this night. Make sure you're invoking the Our Lady, Queen of Angels, for Los Angeles in this time of prayer. It's a very sad time. As angry as we all are, it's also very sad because a group like this, which basically got their entire founding around mocking sisters who dedicate their lives to prayer and to love of our community, they're getting so much attention for being so hateful and so vile. And just remember that this is a time of not only getting politically involved with groups like Catholic Vote, but also have a reminder that this is a place where we need to be praying.
Do you see this as a unifying many different Catholic organizations? People are outraged. And so you see this as a bringing us together with this common cause.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, we all have maybe a different area in the Catholic world that we find our activism fits best. And I believe what's happening right now with the Dodgers is the perfect opportunity for all of us to come together and say, no, you are not going to spit on our faith. You are not going to spit on what we believe and what we stand for.
For much more, you can go to CatholicVote.org for the latest on this Dodger boycott. Logan, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Really appreciate it. You guys are always welcome. Brian Birch is doing fantastic work. We've given him carte blanche platform also to be on here with us, and he's been telling us about it from the very beginning.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. Logan Church, the political director of Catholic Vote. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by speaker, author, and faith coach Kendra Von Esch to continue her summer series on conquering addictions and bad habits. Stay with us as this Monday edition of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's only in my dreams that I can change the world. I'll be the sunlight in your universe. You would think my love was really something good.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
It's Morning Air with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverins on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on this Monday morning. You can find us on social media on Twitter. Our handle is at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email directly if you have any thoughts, any comments, any story ideas you might want to share with us. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Here on Morning Air and on Relevant Radio, we have a love and reverence for the Word of God because all the scriptures are inspired by God and the Holy Spirit is the author. The Word of God has the power to open and change hearts. Jesus left us his church to properly interpret sacred scripture and sacred tradition. We hope and pray that Catholics read, study, pray, share, live, proclaim, obey, and teach God's word more and more every single day. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Again, our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, last week, Kendra Von Esch kicked off her Soul, Mind, and Body summer series, Conquer Addictions and Bad Habits, by sharing many of the ways that we can be addicted and 10 signs that we may have an addiction. It was very informative and enlightening, and in case you missed it, you can always find it online in our Morning Air podcast. Joining us live from Chicago is Morning Air regular contributor Kendra Von Esch to discuss the three-legged stool of life and how we need to keep the soul, mind, and body in balance for that peace that surpasses all understanding. Kendra is a speaker, faith coach, podcaster who is passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation, and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey as well. She's also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, my sister Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us once again. As always, it's a blessing to be with you.
Thanks for having me, John. It's so great that we are doing this every Monday. How many times, and you may not be this way, do we start a new change in our life? I know I don't even know how many Mondays I started a new diet. countless Mondays. So I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
That is so funny. It's no doubt. I mean, I'm sure that's something that many of our listeners can relate to. You know, I'll start it next week. We'll start on Monday morning. We'll start our new diet. Yeah, I've been there for sure.
Exactly.
For our listeners that may have missed last week's show, your initial maiden voyage of this body summer series, can you give us a brief recap of some of the things that we talked about, you know, some of the addictions and some of the signs that we may actually be addicted?
Yeah. It was probably enlightening for some people. As a matter of fact, I had a lot of the listeners out there, love you all, reach out and actually look for coaching. So clearly, this is an issue. We could be addicted to substances, that's a given, right? Your drugs, your alcohol, food, things that we put into our bodies. But let's not forget about the people in our lives we could be obsessed with. We could have lustful feelings for. We could also be addicted to activities. And we know quite a few of them, like pornography, video gaming, gambling. But some that are not so obvious, like streaming with your phone or always on your phone, social media you might be addicted to. You might be a workaholic. You might be addicted to exercise, shopping, stealing, swearing. Like, there's a lot of things that we do that we can be addicted to. And some of them we may not even know, like emotions, anger, resentment, fear. I brought this up last time. How many times have you allowed fear to seal your lips when you are ready to speak up? The last segment that you had, we all need to speak about our faith. We just celebrated Corpus Christi. How many of you guys actually shared the fact that you just received Jesus in the Holy Eucharist? Some things that we need to consider here are emotions that we like to have, but yet we don't want anymore. So it's that familiarity thing. We can also be a perpetual complainer, gossiper, narcissist. You know, there's so many things. And we could be spiritually obsessed. It goes way beyond just religious devotions. So I won't go through the whole 10 addictions. You can listen to the podcast, but that just goes to show that, my goodness, we have a lot to fight against in this world, don't we?
No doubt about it. In fact, Kendra, I thought of you yesterday in our upcoming segment this morning as we drove through Culver's, and I was so tempted to get one of those big, giant Culver's delicious ice cream desserts. And you know what? I actually passed it up, and I thought, you know what? I really don't need this.
You did?
I did.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome.
And you
know
that I am a self-proclaimed ice cream-aholic.
Right. And that's good that you passed it up. But also, don't forget that every now and then, it's always good to live a little. You know, I mean, I think that that's the balance, right? When we talk about the three-legged stool of life and we talk about balancing our life, it's a day-to-day decision. Hundreds of thousands of decisions we make every single day. So there may be times when you want that ice cream. Maybe you were with your son and your son's like, come on, Dad, have some ice cream with me. What are you going to do? You know, deny the poor little guy?
I mean, I was so little with my son, and he said, Dad, aren't you on a diet?
All right, well, you got called out on that one.
Exactly. Yeah, and even though it was a feast day, obviously a solemnity of Corpus Christi, you know. So, yeah, we celebrated in other ways. So, yeah, we were coming back from a baseball tournament. So that was the context of stopping back to indulge in Culver's, as is the post-game tradition.
I love it. Well, at least it's getting a little healthier than McDonald's. That used to be where we went.
There you go. All right. Now, you mentioned the three-legged stool of life. For folks that may not be familiar with this concept, can you explain what that means?
Yeah. So we've got the soul, the mind, and the body. And we need all three of those legs on the stool to be even, to be strong, to be balanced, so that when we go through life, we're stable. We don't allow things that come at us, meaning the world, the flesh, the devil, that person that you work with, that situation, that event or memory that triggers some sort of emotion or feeling that then triggers you to go do something that doesn't serve you. So many of us, I hate to say it, but many of us have one or two legs of that stool that are like totally wobbly. Some of them are like non-existent. So you're sitting there trying to balance your life on one leg. And there was one time one of my coaching clients said, if I'm honest, I just have the seat on the floor. Like there are no legs holding up my stool anymore. And that's the balance. And if we do not have all three, we're going to be rocked. Every time something comes our way, we're going to not be peaceful. We're not going to be joyful and loving, and people are going to notice us. We're going to be stressed out. We're going to look like every other person who is a worldly person walking around, not having faith, not having trust in God, not having that love and joy that attracts people to us, actually to Him through us. So Let's do a, when you say, we on Relevant Radio love the Bible, by the way, all the Bible verses that I will bring to you through your lovely little ears is through the usccb.org website. I also get the usccb.org daily reading sent to my email. So check it out. It stands for U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops. And if we look at Galatians 5:15 through 16, I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. Okay, thanks God for telling me that, but how in the world do I turn away from those passions? Titus 2:12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives and in this present age. Okay, but we have
Those are powerful scriptures, powerful reminders. And I think at the end of the day, St. Paul is reminding us that our strength is in Christ. You know, we could have wobbly legs, but ultimately our strength has to come from our Lord.
And that is why this is soul, mind, and body. How many times do you hear the world say mind, body, soul, or body, mind? I don't even know what the order is anymore because I've said it so many times this way, soul, mind, and body, because it's so critical that we have our soul connected to God all day and that we have a prayer life. I mean, we are supposed to pray with our whole body, our entire soul, mind, body, our spirit. So in the Catechism 2702, the need to involve the senses in interior prayer corresponds to a requirement of our human nature. We are body and spirit, and we experience the need to translate our feelings externally. We must pray with our whole being to give all power possible to our supplication. Okay, we already have problems praying. So now God's asking us to pray with everything. Our soul, our heart, our strength, our mind. And that is so critical. You are right. We can do nothing without God. So when you hear those other Bible verses that say that we're supposed to go away from the world, rest in the fact that in Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, for human beings, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. So that's the hope that we all need to have when we look at the soul, the mind, and the body. And we won't be able to cover all of these in this segment, but I want to say that if you don't have God in your life, and I'm really serious when I say starting off your day with Him, I know people like their sleep. I know a lot of people have stressful nights of sleep and they don't get a lot. So me asking you to get up earlier to get God in your day to start it is probably something that you're rolling your eyes at right now. But I'm going to tell you that when you get up, even 15 minutes earlier, you will have a difference in your day because you have given your life to God. You've humbly started it. And I know, John, I think you and I talked, and you get up and you thank God every day before your feet even hit the ground. And that is beautiful as well. And I know you're getting up at 3:45 in the morning, so I don't know how much earlier you can get up without being completely insane.
My feet hit the ground, and they're on their knees 60 seconds later as I say the morning offering in the dark in front of the crucifix to set the tone for the day. So it's a beautiful habit that I have, thanks be to God, I've been able to do since day one taking over this show.
And when you say habit, that's another thing. We can put these good serving habits in our life and get rid of those habits that don't serve us. So for everyone, let's just do that this week. Let's do the John. Get out of bed, go on our knees, pray our morning offering. If you don't know it, just give God your everything. Lord, I give you my thoughts and my words and my deeds. I give you every blessing that you've given me. I give you all my material possessions, like offer it all up. And let's do that every day. Everyone, when you're in bed, just be aware that you are not going to want to do this. You are going to want to stay in bed. You're going to want to stay under the covers. You're going to want to hit snooze. And you know who, Satan and his minions, are going to give you every excuse to not do it. So I hope that all of you, John and me, are in your head tomorrow morning and you get out of bed and you get down on your knees and you offer your day to God. That's a beautiful way to start.
We need to take a short time out. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of our conversation, we're talking about the importance of soul, mind, and body and conquering addictions and bad habits. We're taking your calls for Catholic speaker and author Kendra Von Esch at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Kendra. Stay with us. There's much more to come. On the other side here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We are ready for liftoff. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales as we continue our interesting and uplifting conversation with our good friend, Morning Air contributor Kendra Von Esch, speaker, author, faith coach, podcaster, vlogger, and many other hats that she wears as we are continuing here with week two of her summer series, Conquering Addictions and Bad Habits. Kendra, before the break, we were talking about the soul. Let's talk about the mind.
Right. So the mind. Are you a person out there that constantly learns like a child? I know when I graduated from college, I was like, someone's going to have to pay me to go back to school. I just did not have a desire to learn things. And I was very lazy. I just got by. I just watched TV. I never read a book that actually taught me something. I just read books that were meaningless and mindless and smutty, actually. So do you have a constant learning like a child mindset? Are you living in the present moment? Are you paying attention in this 24-hour journey that we are living today? That means that you don't go into your subconscious programming. You don't do things on autopilot. You actually are conscious. You're looking at things around you. You are intaking nature and information and all of that in your mind and processing it, but also discerning God's voice. That's something that takes practice. That's something that we have to be aware of what's going on around us so that we can know, hey, wait a minute, whose voice is this? Is this God's? Is this mine? Or is this Satan's? Because they're very difficult sometimes to discern. And then, of course, if your mind is really on par, you're managing your body. Hello? Your body isn't managing your mind. And that is the walk. That is the coolest part. We all have to enjoy the journey. The destination is never going to be here until we get to heaven, hopefully, or purgatory. I pray I get there. But that's really the deal. So we should be paying attention, being aware, and loving the learning process, laughing with God when he points things out with us, forgiving ourselves when we fall. And that's really all about the mind examining the conscience all day long, you know?
Kendra, you know, we started out the segment with the power scripture this morning about the Word of God and how all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching from 2 Timothy 3:16. Well, there is a powerful verse that has always uplifted me from Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That scripture reminds me the importance of renewing our mind, developing our mind, really growing our mind to love the Lord with all our heart, mind and soul, mind and soul.
Amen. Because our mind is what thinks. And so many of us don't use it. And the more that we do read scripture, the more our mind and heart will connect. So the mind and the heart and the soul all together change how we look at things. Our view of the world changes. You're absolutely right. And scripture is so important. That's obviously part of the soul, the mind, and the body, because we can remind ourselves of scripture throughout the day and the strength of God. You know, he who strengthens me, it's not us and our measly little will. So, all right, you ready for the body?
Absolutely. I want to hear your take on this one.
Okay, body as the mind. Exactly opposite. So if your body is the controlling agent of you, then we obviously have a problem. So we need to fight those bodily urges. And when you're perfect in the body, you think before you do. You pray before you do. You treat your body as a gift from God. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you treat it right spiritually. You treat it right with nutrition. You move it with a physical nature, with exercise. And you nurture the relationship with the Holy Spirit who dwells within your body. So when you have the soul and the mind working together, the body follows suit. And all too often, we ignore the body. You know that you could be a better evangelist if you had more energy, if you were stronger, if you were able to live the life that God wants us to, right? We've read many, many, many Bible verses that tell us that we are to do this. But again, we need God's strength. We need his miracle in our life. And that's why, as the body, we have to constantly remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit is in us. What are we doing to drown him? Is it alcohol? Is it food? Is it ignoring him and doing everything else but spending that time with him?
Well, and Kendra, we're going to have to leave it.
The body will calm down.
I started to say we're going to have to leave it right there. We're just out of time. Real quick, where can our listeners find out more about your series?
Sure. You can go to my YouTube channel. Just search Kendra Von Esch. I am continuing on with these series. This is just on Mondays. And you can also go to my website, kendravonesch.com. Thanks, John. Got a little windy today, a little long-winded. So we'll make sure we get all these things in every single Monday. We don't want to lose a topic on any of this.
Thanks, as always, Kendra. Really appreciate it. Kendra Von Esch, faith coach, speaker, podcaster, and author here on Morning Air. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Just Push. A man was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man that he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained to the man that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. Now this the man did day after day. For many years he toiled from sunup to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. Each night the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling his whole day had been spent in vain. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, the adversary decided to enter the picture by placing thoughts into the man's weary mind. You've been pushing against that rock for a long time. It hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You're never going to move it. Thus giving the man the impression the task was impossible and that he was a failure. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man. I kill myself over this, he thought. I'll just put in my time, giving the minimum efforts. That'll be good enough. And that's what he planned to do. Till one day he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. Lord, he said, I've labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I've not even budged that rock by half a millimeter. What's wrong? Why am I failing? The Lord responded compassionately. My child, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me, your strength spent, thinking you've failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled, your back sinew and brown, your hands calloused from constant pressure, your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push and exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. this you have done. I, my friend, will now move the rock. At times when we hear a word from God, we tend to use our own intellect to decipher what he wants, when actually what God wants is simple obedience and faith in him. By all means, exercise the faith that moves mountains, but know that it is still God who moves the mountains. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes.
A powerful story corner here this morning, and that scripture, I even have a t-shirt that has that scripture, Glenn. That'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, producer Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our whole team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.